the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Friday edition of The Drive. It is a beautiful day. It's chilly. Not as breezy as yesterday, so it ends up feeling about the same as it did. Yesterday, the temperature was actually a little warmer, but you had more wind. It's a gorgeous day. Hope everybody doing well on this Friday. Hard to believe, man. Here we are, less than a week away from Thanksgiving. We're coming up on the final home game of the season for Auburn football. It is a big weekend. We'll see how many surprises. This looks to be... I mean, for the most part, you've got the Indiana-Ohio State game.
Right.
But, I mean, across the country, there aren't a ton of huge games. I guess Notre Dame-Army is a pretty significant non-SEC game. But, I mean, there aren't that many big ones. It looks like, well, you know, it's that last weekend before rivalry weekend.
Right.
Look out for upsets.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, that's the way it usually is. There are going to be some teams looking ahead. There'll be some teams that have disappointed this year that all of a sudden will play well. I mean, Auburn folks hoping that they're one of those teams.
For sure.
But, I mean, there's going to be an upset or two this weekend. I think you can just mark that down.
Can feel it, yeah. You know, the funny thing, Bill, we've talked about this before. You know, when I was coaching at Auburn, we always had Georgia, then Alabama.
Right.
And that was hard not to get up for those two.
Mm-hmm.
But it's tough when you have sometimes what you'd say a lesser opponent, like, you know, has happened in the past before the Iron Bowl. But this is a big game for us and A&M.
Oh, it absolutely is. But the week before you play your in-state rival, and for A&M, the first time they played Texas since 2011.
Right. So
2011. So
two big games next week for both the opponents in this game. So it's going to be interesting.
But for both teams this week, you lose it, and, I mean, it's really a disappointment. For Auburn, it clinches a losing season.
Right.
If they lose. And if Texas A&M loses – they're out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're out of the playoffs unless they were to beat Texas, get to the SEC championship game, and win it. That's the only way a three-loss SEC team is going to be in the playoffs, at least I believe. I know there's some people that say, well, maybe Georgia. No. You saw Georgia with two losses just hanging at number 12.
Yeah.
They pick up a third loss, they're out. Right. Alabama loses again, they're out.
Right.
I mean, any of these teams lose their third game, you know, it's crazy. I mean, back at the start of the season and in preseason, we were thinking, oh, sure, it is a shoe-in that an SEC team with two losses is going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
There is very likely going to be an SEC team with two losses who is on the outside looking in and does not make the playoffs.
Yeah, pretty good game last night. I don't know if you got to watch it.
I watched a little of it, yeah.
You know, I heard them talking on another show.
I wondered how much Georgia Tech was thinking about next week, too.
Yeah, that too. Friday night, I think they played Georgia, which is unusual.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's Thanksgiving week.
That's right. That's
you know, Thanksgiving week, you'll have games on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah, that's a great weekend for football.
Oh, yeah. But that's exactly that thought crossed my mind last night.
And you know, there was a lot of people today. I was listening to Neuhausel on that talk show when I went to do some shopping. They were saying that North Carolina State should have taken a knee twice, then kicked the field goal when they were down by two. Georgia Tech had only one timeout left, and they could have ran the clock out. Instead, they scored. Georgia Tech went down and scored.
Yep. I mean, sometimes. Yeah, no, I mean,
I don't know. That's interesting.
Well, I mean, that's like that. That's like Auburn, Florida State in the national championship
game. Yes.
You know, if you don't score,
yep.
if you hold up, but I mean, how can you not? It's really hard to not score.
And there's so many things that can go wrong right. with the kicking game.
You can't
now.
Just assume that it's yeah, going to work.
Even
I mean,
the pros
in high, it's a whole lot easier to coach in hindsight.
Oh, yeah. It's sitting, yeah, the next morning sitting in New York City, right.
Yeah.
But, you know, even the kicking, they say go ahead and kick it. Well, that's not a guarantee.
No.
Look
no,
at
it's
the
not.
Pros just, last yeah. week. The Bears got a field goal block, chip shot.
Yeah.
I mean, and the problems we've had sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Auburn, I mean, and again, I agree with Hugh Freeze. Towns Magoo is going to be an outstanding kicker. Yeah. I mean, he has a tremendously strong leg, and I have tremendous confidence
yes.
in him in the future.
He'll be fine.
But he's been struggling, and kickers go through things like
yes.
that. But you can look back at it, and some of those missed field goals could have really changed the way things
like we were talking
the way we are right now.
The red zone situation.
Yeah, and that gets to there are some crazy things. And no question, look, this has been a disappointing season for Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense has been a pleasant surprise. They've gotten better and better. But if you look at the losses that Auburn has suffered, I know it's easy to say, hey, the defense played well enough to win any of the games, except with perhaps with the exception of the Georgia game. Auburn has given up 141 points
mm-hmm.
in their seven Power Four games.
Yeah.
So right at 20 points a game.
Yeah,
that's
good.
These days?
That's excellent.
That would put you in position to win every time out.
Georgia's
the only game Auburn's allowed more than 30 points.
Right.
So, yes, that is the case. But as we were talking, I mean, there have been a couple of these ball games when the defense has played so well, but there would be a critical drive where they just couldn't get off the field.
Exactly.
Vandy was up 10-7, but then they put together, remember, that 95-yard, 18-play drive, and Auburn had the ball. The defense, it wasn't a situation where you could say, yeah, well, the defense was gassed. Well, they were by the end of the 18-play drive,
yeah.
But they had held Vandy to 130 yards total offense up to that point.
The whole game.
And they had not had a first down for nearly an entire half of play. It's just one of those things where they a couple of critical mistakes, mm-hmm. a breakdown here or there, and that has been the problem for Auburn in its losses. More of those have been on offense, obviously, than on defense, but it's not as though the offense has just been inept. It hasn't been a situation, and maybe that's made it even more frustrating,
mm-hmm.
That it hasn't been a situation where Auburn has just gone out and been shut out, three and out punt, and have just been not in ball games. The frustrating thing is they've been in ball games, they've moved the ball, but they've really struggled in the red zone. Auburn is, I think, 114th in the nation in red zone offense.
Mm-hmm.
That is the biggest problem that Auburn's had. It's not all Peyton Thorne. It's not all offensive line. It's some of that. It's some of those. It's some of the play calling and just lack of execution at times Auburn's gotten in the red zone.
Yeah, and missed kicks and bad luck. I mean, penalties, all that stuff adds up. Whenever you have a season like we're having, you go back, it's not just one thing, like
no.
you said. You got. I mean, it's easy to point to one thing.
Well, I mean, what did we hear the first few ball games? Hey, if Auburn could just cut down the turnovers,
right.
they're going to win all these games.
Yeah.
Well, they've cut the turnovers down,
right?
And they still have only won one conference game.
Yeah.
The next thing is, you know, if Auburn just had anybody else at quarterback, if Auburn just had a left tackle, now it's if Auburn just had an offense that could score, and now that is a one thing. You can do that, and it encompasses a lot more.
Right.
If Auburn had an offense averaging what they did a year ago, and that's what's crazy. Auburn is moving the ball at a much better clip. They're picking up over 50 yards a game more than they did a year ago, and they're scoring a touchdown a game less.
Right.
That doesn't usually add up. And
yeah.
and I was telling you, I saw the number yesterday, that this, if Auburn just continues at this pace right now to this point, Auburn has the second most productive offense in yards that they've had since 2013. 2017 is the only team
mm-hmm.
that has done better than this offense in moving the ball
wow.
since 2013. But this offense is at the bottom of all those teams in points.
Yeah.
So that's what's happened. So
it's not
tomorrow, Auburn needs to be, regardless of how they do it, they've got to capitalize when they have the opportunity. You got to get points out of your possessions better than they have.
Yes. And I think we will.
I don't know. Look, and I've maybe a few times I've been accused of this, but I'm not usually considered the sunshine pumper. I feel it's like I was saying, this is usually one of those weekends where some crazy things happen.
Right.
This is where Auburn lost to New Mexico State.
Yes.
A year ago.
Yes.
I mean, it's that weekend where some teams are either enjoying last week or looking ahead to next week. And Auburn may not be one, but I guarantee, just mark it down, there will be a big upset or two this weekend.
Yep.
And I just feel like, hey, Auburn is way overdue.
Yeah,
I mean, taking nothing away from Texas A&M. What an outstanding year they've had for Mike Elko.
First-year coach, yes.
Absolutely.
But their cupboard was not bare.
No, it was not. Jimbo had recruited. Yeah. Now, a lot of those guys had decided to move on to other places, but they still had an excellent amount of talent on that squad.
I didn't realize that one of their best D linemen is a Purdue transfer.
Yeah.
He played at Purdue for 2 years, but he's from college.
Leader. Yes.
He's from College Station, I believe, hometown.
Uh-huh.
That blows my mind how he would end up, you know, at Purdue.
Well, he wasn't – I think coming out of high school, he wasn't a five-star. He wasn't super highly touted. So it's just like one of those one of those where if you if you want to get him, you might say, well, come in and walk on and we'll give you a scholarship later, or
maybe,
he wasn't heavily pursued.
Now, we'd already left Purdue, so I'm not familiar with him, but that's interesting.
Yeah, it is. All right, we're just getting underway here on the Friday edition of The Drive. It's Bill and Don, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio with me. Drew is at the controls. Love for you to join in as well. You can give us a call on The Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390. You can text us. And the Drive text box number is 334-564-1840. That's sponsored by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor the podcast of The Drive. So if you miss any of this or any of The Drives, just wherever you get your podcasts, they are there shortly after the show's done. I believe there may be one missing for I think maybe Tuesdays. Yeah, Tuesday, but I think somebody told me Tuesday and Wednesdays. So we'll check on that and see if we can get those put up for you. Again, we're just underway. Love to get your thoughts on tomorrow's Auburn-Texas A&M matchup or any of the things going on this weekend. We'll go ahead and get to our first break. We're going to see if we can check in with Barrett Salee when we come back here on the Friday edition of The Drive.
ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, and we'll hold your calls because we've got an outgoing one right now on the Drive hotline as we welcome in our good friend from College Football Smothered and Covered, Sirius XM and Outkick. That is Barrett Salee. Barrett, how you doing, man?
Last week, I hadn't had a day off since before Ireland. So
wow.
Decided to trace a little white ball around a bunch of green grass. And by green grass, I mean trees and leaves. So it's very little green grass.
Ah, man, it's well-deserved. Glad you got a chance to do that. That's cool. That's a pretty rough schedule you got there.
It doesn't stop. You know, you guys know this. The sport's 24/7, 365, and in the fall especially.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it's... There are a lot of other folks that would probably swap with us on some of the things that we to do. We were talking with Andy Burcham a couple of days ago, and his schedule's pretty hectic. I mean, he's got the football game tomorrow night, then he's hopping a flight to Maui for the tournament there, and he's going to have to leave, you know, at the crack of dawn to get there and do three games, and then come back. Fly back on Thanksgiving Day and then do the Iron Bowl, and it's like, there are more than a handful of people who would gladly swap those tough travel conditions that he has.
Yeah, no doubt. But Maui, man, that's going to be fun. I'm jealous.
Yeah, meanwhile, Big Dan is in Anchorage with the Troy women. So while Aubrey goes to Maui, Dan's up in Anchorage with women's basketball. So, I mean, he seriously is like Nanook of the North.
Yeah, he did not get the good part of that deal.
No kidding. Hey, as we head into the penultimate weekend in college football, what are your thoughts on just – what we're hearing and the way things are set up here in this college football playoff, the explanations, of course, they hardly ever make sense from year to year and sometimes from week to week, but hearing that strength of schedule really is just a data point and not a more significant factor is something that is not music to the ears of SEC teams.
Oh, no. And there have been people that inside the SEC sphere who have privately shown and said a bunch of very negative things, some of the four-letter variety, about that. Look, the committee just doesn't want to box themselves in because they make things up as they go along.
Right.
So if they say, by God, strength of schedule is going to be our third most important metric, they can't veer off of that. So they want to find a way to give themselves some wiggle room. And, you know, I think with Indiana, that's the one that I think everybody sort of points to. And
right. What
are they, 109 or something like that? I didn't check after last night's game. But that's the one everyone points to. And it's like, okay, yeah. I mean, I get kind of what they're saying because Indiana really hasn't played down to any of its opponents.
No.
Even that Michigan game they were in control of. So there's a lot to be said for that when a lot of other teams have played down to their opponents, even in games that they won. So, you know, I get what they're saying, trying to leave a little bit of a buffer for Indiana to lose this weekend and still get in the playoff, which I think is probably going to happen. But, you know, they make it up as they go along. I mean, I think it's funny because you look at the rankings this week, some teams are being treated as if their bad losses are inexcusable, and others, like Notre Dame, are being treated like their bad loss doesn't matter.
It almost doesn't count.
Yeah. Well, and then the one that really gets me is that SMU, which I love SMU, I love Rhett, I love SMU, they're one spot ahead of BYU, despite the fact that BYU beat SMU. So they're counting BYU's, air quote, bad loss to Kansas
more
worse than SMU's loss, which is to BYU, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you don't get as much credit for that win as you do get taken away from you for a loss. Yeah, I want that formula. I'd love to be able to play, but of course that's what it tells me is there is no specific formula. It's just how we're feeling this week, and that's the way it's going to be with humans.
Yeah, well, and I'm fine with no specific formula on a year-to-year basis. I mean, every season looks different, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine with
it. Yeah, but once you're using something for this year, let's stick with
it. Right. Yeah, and like, at least be on the same track every single week. I mean, it's just like they completely contradict themselves and what they're focused on almost every week. And then they also contradict themselves within the same week's rankings.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm cool with it being sort of vague in terms of procedure, as long as it's applied on a year-by-year basis, because, like I said, like different years deserve different, you know, microscopes. That's fine. But this is a disaster, this playoff committee. And I didn't like it to begin with. I thought from the moment the whole thing started that we should have complete transparency and do a lot of other things differently. But, you know, they kept it in-house. It's a big sort of boys and girls club that nobody else can seem to crack, and they're not gonna do what we want to do, no matter how much we kick and scream.
No, not now. Absolutely not. And with 2 weeks to go, I mean, it's going to really be interesting to see how things move as we get toward the conference championships. And here in the SEC, the SEC is going to have to use some of its crazy tiebreakers. I mean, I don't see any way around that. It could get as crazy as what if, and somebody said, oh, you've lost your mind. I said, but what if Auburn were to beat A&M and A&M beats Texas and you've got six teams with two losses? I mean, you could, but I think what's more likely to happen is you're going to have a team with one, and you very well could have five teams with two losses.
Yep. And look, there's nothing you can do about it, right? You want divisionless football. This is kind of how you have to operate with, you know, a ton of teams. And yeah, I'm perfectly fine with divisionless football. I think that now Lane Kiffin and Kirby Smart are sort of getting at the forefront of this and mm-hmm. saying, hey, guys, what happens if we lose the SEC championship?
Well, somebody's going to lose it, and it's going to be a team with two losses. Unless the one-loss team loses.
Well, and you know what's interesting is that every single coach has these questions, but they're like, okay, Kirby, you be the spokesman because you have all the sway, mm-hmm. and Lane, you be the spokesman because you're Lane.
Right.
So, like, but all of them feel that way. And the thing about it is, and this is going to be the response, and it's true, is that, yeah, you know, theoretically you could knock yourself out of the of the playoff by losing the SEC championship game, but you also can play your way in if you aren't in there at the moment. So, you know, it does work both ways, but ultimately I cannot imagine the loser of the SEC championship game or Big Ten championship game being left out. You're not going to punish a team for being so good that they play their way into an opportunity to lose a game. I know last year it happened, but it's a whole different world compared to last year.
Well, I feel that should be the case, but I find it hard to believe that it's not going to happen. And I think that's why these coaches are saying this, because you hate for a team that doesn't earn a spot in a playoff and may have lost to that team that is in the championship game gets in over that team because the other team lost in its championship game. I think it's going to happen. And what's that going to do, Barrett? Is that going to make it even a quicker road, quicker path to expanding the playoffs from 12?
Oh, yeah. You know, we heard about that, the proposal to have 14 and four of them be automatics for the SEC and Big Ten, three to the ACC and Big 12, and then everywhere else from at large from there. Mm-hmm. That 100% would lead to that expansion, and I think it would be that the two conference championship game participants in the Big Ten and the SEC both get automatic bids.
That makes sense. Makes more sense than what we have right now.
Yeah, I think the BCS makes more sense than what we.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. Hey,
yeah,
I mean,
incidentally.
No,
can
go
you
ahead.
Imagine what this year, what the BCS would be like with this year, where you like. Think about how big Indiana Ohio State would be.
Oh, you're not kidding. It's a play-in game. Yeah, it's like it's a playoff game. Wow. Yeah,
awesome.
I've been spending so much time trying to look at tiebreakers and things like that. I hadn't really thought about it. Hey, another thought. I think we touched on this a couple of weeks ago. With losses hurting so badly, how's the SEC ever going to get to a 9-game schedule? Who's going to vote for that now?
Oh, nobody. Nobody. Like that ship has sailed, and I know there are a lot.
That is so sad, because to say goodbye Auburn, Georgia, and Alabama, Tennessee on a regular basis.
Yeah, well,
basis.
That's one of those things where you didn't really know what it was going to look like this year, and we're going through it, and now we see how sort of things are going to operate. And every single proponent of the 9-game schedule I've heard behind closed doors has completely come off of that.
Oh, yeah. I don't blame them. I mean, it makes absolute perfect sense. So, man, that's crazy. What a year it's been, though. I mean, the all the complaints preseason that, well, you know, four is plenty. If you get to 12, there's not going to be anybody down there at 11 or 12 that really matters. No, there's going to be a couple of teams that don't make it that feel they're every bit as good as some of the teams that are in this field.
And can you imagine if that team is Tennessee? Because Tennessee fans are already furious, and we're not even at the end of the season yet. I mean, there might be pitchforks at that hotel in Grapevine, Texas, for the team that gets left out, especially if it's like Tennessee or Georgia or Alabama.
Yeah, well, I mean, it very, very possibly is going to be. I mean, we'll see. Hey, before we let you go, I mean, this is a weekend. You got the Indiana-Ohio State game, I guess. Notre Dame, Army, and BYU, Arizona State are the biggest non-SEC games. And it's that weekend before rivalry weekend, but this is usually a weekend where some crazy things happen. Have you got is there a game or two you're looking at? You think, ooh, this one might not go the way that most people think?
Yeah, I'm looking at a lot of the road favorites.
Uh-huh.
I think Ole Miss, Florida is going to be close, but I think Minnesota, Penn State is going to be really good. I don't think folks have recognized how that Minnesota offense has come along. Max Brosnan is, I think he has 199 straight passes without an interception, three touchdowns in each of the last three games. And, you know, Penn State on the road, yeah, I don't necessarily trust James Franklin in key spots like this either. So I think, I don't know if it's going to be an upset, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if Minnesota is in that game late and catches a break or two, and maybe they do spring the upset. I'm not picking it, but I could see it.
Yeah, well, and here in the SEC, I wonder how much LSU is really focused now with four losses, and that Vandy's got another mobile quarterback, which LSU doesn't seem to have a clue as to how to stop.
No, they do not. I think LSU is going to be fine. I think the Vandy shine has kind of worn off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I still do trust Garrett Nussmeier. I know things have not gone their way, but I think LSU can just out-athlete people as long as they can protect Garrett Nussmeier, which they didn't last week, but I think they'll have a little bit more success against Vandy.
And then I mentioned, it may seem crazy to some folks, but I think Auburn's got a shot against A&M tomorrow night.
You in Las Vegas, I mean, look, that's one of those lines. Like last week to me, I saw Florida plus four
mm-hmm.
against LSU, and I was like, that's pretty, I don't understand that one. Well, we saw what happened. Florida won outright. But Auburn is that this week. Like, why are they only two and a half point underdogs? I don't get it. But, you know, 2 years ago we saw what Carnell did in that game, which was wild. And so, you know, maybe somebody knows something. If Cam Coleman does what Cam Coleman did last week, it's certainly possible.
The Auburn defense has really played well under DJ Durkin,
yes.
Getting better and
yes.
better. Hey, it's their first conference night game at home, and I wonder, as much as A&M knows, they can't afford to lose a game unless they win the conference championship. There's no way that they're not hearing at home everybody talking to him about next week.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, even Mike Elko had that 40
yep.
flip, was it Monday or Tuesday?
Yeah.
It's a focus, there's no doubt. But, yeah, I hope that was just an accident, because if you're overlooking Auburn at night in Jordan-Hare Stadium, you're not doing your job very well.
Well, Auburn hasn't been that tough over the last few years at home. But I think this one could be interesting. Barrett, always great to spend a little time with you. I'll let everybody know what you've got going on now that you got that day off. What all's coming up for you?
College Football Smothered and Covered. We new episodes every day. Got one up today with the Friday Five Picks. Talked a little recruiting too. So you can find that wherever you get your podcasts, and also on YouTube. And then SiriusXM, whenever they need me. Sunday mornings, every single Sunday with Tom Luganville. And then picks up on Outkick, and we do a wrap-up on Outkick on Saturday night, Sunday morning. So a lot going on.
Absolutely. Great stuff, Barrett. Thanks again, man. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Bill.
Barrett Salee joining us, as he does on Fridays. And, great to get him. He does stay pretty busy.
Wow. Yeah.
He's got three jobs that most people would be full-time for him.
I really enjoy his show on Sunday morning.
And of course, if you miss it,
yeah.
I was going to say that while he was on. If you miss any of it, they just rerun it.
Yeah.
And it seems like every time when I catch part of it, when I get back in the car, I'm right back at that part.
Yeah.
And then look, it's not just like a 30-minute show.
No, 3 hours, I think. Three or four, yeah.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. We're going to open up the phone lines. Love for you to join in. Give us your thoughts as we continue here with the Friday Drive.
90, toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Don, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in. Are you going to the ball game tomorrow? What do you think about it? It's Auburn's, really, it's Auburn's last shot at home to get a big win. Auburn has not beaten a ranked team since 2021.
Mm.
I mean, this and Texas A&M comes in number 15, and very much still in the picture for the college football playoff. Like we were saying with Barrett just a couple of minutes ago. I mean, they know they can't afford to lose.
Yeah,
and still have that spot in there without winning the SEC. I mean, the only way that Texas A&M could lose this ball game and still get in would be beat Texas, and if they did that, I think they'd be in the championship game. We were looking at it yesterday. Yeah. If there were a six-team tie, then it goes by what each of the teams have done head-to-head. Mm-hmm. Well, A&M has not played Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, or Tennessee. This is next week will be Texas A&M's first game against any of the other teams that have one or two losses in conference play. So they'd be 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other team, I believe, let's see, we can sort of do the math. Alabama beat Georgia, lost to Tennessee, and that's the only two games they played
right
against those other five. So they'd be 1-1. Georgia is the team. Georgia has played
everybody
but Texas A&M.
Right.
Georgia's 2-2. Because Georgia lost to Alabama, lost to,
Ole Miss, right?
Yeah, lost to Alabama and Ole Miss, that's right, and beat Texas and Tennessee. So, the only two they haven't played are Alabama, Texas, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Texas A&M. Am I leaving somebody out? I was thinking there's six teams with two losses in the SEC, aren't there? Yeah, there are. Texas A&M, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, and Ole Miss. So, yeah, Georgia hasn't played has Georgia played five of them? Georgia played Texas. Well, no, they played four. You can only play the other five. So that's right. Georgia's 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
So Georgia's 2-2. Alabama's 1-1. And then when you get to Ole Miss has only played
Georgia,
right? So Ole Miss is 0-1.
Hmm.
So they would be out. Tennessee has beaten Alabama, lost to Georgia. They're 1-1. Texas has lost to Georgia. And if they beat Texas A&M.
Yeah.
So it looks like Texas A&M would be in, and then somebody who is 500 in those games would be in. Either Georgia or Alabama, it looks like, would be in. That is if A&M lost to Auburn and beat Texas.
Right.
It's more likely, I mean, if you go by chalk, go by the predictions, A&M beats Auburn, loses to Texas. That puts A&M in a five-team tie with two losses. It would be Texas in there, and A&M would be out because their only game would have been against Texas. They lost.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you just go, and I've got to check this out, but I'm 90%+ sure that in a tie for second, the first tiebreaker is what you did against the first place team.
Wow.
So you know who that would put in would be Georgia because they're the only team to beat Texas.
Yeah.
So I think that if A&M beats Auburn and there's a five-way tie for second, I think Georgia would be your team. Hmm. I've heard a lot of people saying, well, if everything just goes chalk, Alabama's in. No, Alabama hasn't played Texas.
Right.
I think the first tiebreaker usually is how you do against the champion, and then it goes head-to-head. I'll check that.
Yeah,
we can check that during the break.
I have no clue.
Because it might be head-to-head because everybody hadn't played the champion.
Right.
So
that's interesting.
But look, one of those, like I said with Barrett, one of those tiebreakers is going to come into the factor.
Sure.
I mean, because you're not going to see – Well, I guess you could. I mean, Auburn could really mess things up.
Yeah.
I mean, Auburn could win the next two.
Yeah.
And that'd knock Alabama out of the SEC championship game, knock them out of the playoff. That would
be nice.
Pretty much knock Texas A&M out of the playoff.
Yeah.
That'd give them both three losses. Then Ole Miss would have to – you know, Ole Miss has got Ole Miss is in Gainesville tomorrow.
Yeah, that's not going to be easy.
I mean, if Ole Miss were to lose in Gainesville, that would knock them out.
What if they all lost? Top guys.
Is there anybody who I think Georgia. Georgia's done. Georgia's done with conference play. They've got UMass and Georgia Tech.
That's
if
right.
If those teams lost, it'd come down to Texas and Georgia with two losses.
You know, Kentucky and Texas, I don't think they
No, I don't think Kentucky's gonna beat Texas.
South Carolina's they're done, right?
Yeah. I mean, you've got a couple of teams that with 2 weeks to go in the season are done with conference play because they've got their in-state non-conference arch rival
next week.
Last weekend. South Carolina's at Clemson. Georgia's hosting Georgia Tech, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's next Friday.
Friday. Got the Egg Bowl, Mississippi State, Ole Miss.
And that's also on – is that also on Friday?
I think that's Thanksgiving Day. It could be Friday.
The SEC release says it's Friday.
Okay.
So Georgia Tech and the Egg Bowl are on Friday.
And then you got Missouri and Arkansas to finish out with those two.
Yeah, and Missouri's already got three conference losses.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's crazy, but it's not inconceivable that a couple of these teams with two losses get knocked off.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's going to be so tomorrow's going to solve.
There are
few
more
problems.
Games, and look, that's one thing that this 12-team playoff has done.
Uh-huh.
There are more games that mean a lot more coming down the stretch,
right?
Than we've ever seen.
Yeah, and that Indiana Ohio State game, that's interesting. That's going to have a lot of ramifications, and yeah, it's tomorrow. I'm telling you, tomorrow's going to be interesting.
Even though there are only like
a couple
four matchups of ranked teams.
Right, right.
334-321-1390. We'd love for you to join in here on the Friday edition of The Drive. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us.
Experience and knowledge from the Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, final segment of hour number one here on this Friday. Appreciate Crawford calling in. I was just looking at schedules and trying to, without seeing the results, going through and pointing out the records, I incorrectly said Ole Miss would be 0-1 in that head-to-head tiebreaker situation. They're 1-0 because they beat Georgia. Georgia is 2-2. All right. I was just thinking about, and that made me think about, all right, Ole Miss would be 1-0 if it were in a tiebreaker situation. Let's say Texas A&M beats Auburn and then beats Texas in College Station next Saturday. Ole Miss goes ahead and beats Florida and Mississippi State. Alabama beats Oklahoma and Auburn. I mean, everybody ends up with two losses is what I'm saying. If A&M were to do that. Well, A&M actually would have one loss.
Right.
So A&M would be in. All right, you'd need to have Auburn beat A&M.
Right.
And then A&M beat Texas. And everybody else holds against the teams they're expected to beat.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of a 6-team tie, the first SEC tiebreaker, I'm looking now at the release from the SEC back in August. The tiebreaker procedures for the 2024 SEC championship game. It says, in the event of a tie between teams competing for a place in the conference championship game, so it's the same tiebreaker for if you're competing for first or if there is a solid team in first and teams are tied for second. The first tiebreaker is head-to-head competition among the tied teams. If you have a 6-team tie with two losses. The first tiebreaker is head-to-head competition. In that case, Texas A&M would be 1-0 because they didn't play anybody but Texas. And Ole Miss would be 1-0 because they didn't play anybody but Georgia. So you would then have an SEC championship game between Ole Miss and Texas A&M. And you know what that would mean? It would be two first-time participants in the SEC championship game.
Ever.
That is crazy. That is crazy. Now, Ole Miss, we were talking about it during the break. A lot of people liked Ole Miss preseason. Right, no question about that. Texas A&M was not mentioned. Was not near the tip of anybody's tongue when they were talking about who's competing for an SEC title.
Huge game tomorrow night.
Absolutely it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely it is.
Yeah.
If you've got five teams with two losses, if say, you know, whoever, if Texas A&M beats Auburn, then the winner of the Texas A&M game is going to be your SEC. Finish the regular season with the best record. Now, see, it's crazy. Do you call them? You don't call them SEC regular season champs. It's funny. Like in basketball or in baseball, you have regular season champs and you have tournament champs.
Yeah.
In football, though, you could have a clear one team finishes with a better conference record than anybody else, and all they are is the home team in the SEC championship game. They don't get to put up banners that say, we're the best in the regular season.
That's tough.
It is. I'd never thought about that. But regardless,
yeah,
the Texas A&M winner, if everything holds up this weekend, would be the home team. And you could have – then you'd probably have a five-way tie for second place. And that tiebreaker does not go – the first tiebreaker is not how they did against the number one team. It is head-to-head competition. And so – in head-to-head competition there, I would guess that Ole Miss gets in.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think?
I think.
Wait. I mean, because Ole Miss beat Georgia.
Georgia.
You don't worry about what they did against Texas now, anybody did against Texas. So that would make Georgia's record 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama would be 1-1. And as I said, Ole Miss would be 1-0, and A&M would be 0-0, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, if the winner is Texas, it's going to be Ole Miss they play. If the winner is Texas A&M, then what's Texas's record against the other teams? Texas lost to Georgia? They'd be 0-1. So it's going to be Ole Miss. So if things hold up this weekend – and then the Texas A&M winner is going to be playing Ole Miss for the SEC title.
Crazy.
Yeah. All right. I think we've done that okay.
Yeah.
Again, I said during the break, this is like one of those old formulas that you used to put up or computer language.
Yeah.
When you go, if this, then, and you got this, then scenario, this scenario, because you eliminate this team from the head-to-head and everything else. So, I mean, it's crazy. And look, that's just the SEC.
Right.
I mean, like we were talking with Barrett, mm-hmm. the sad thing is now with divisionless conferences, this college football playoff committee has made it very unlikely that anybody's going to want to add conference games because that could add a loss.
Yeah. They're not going to do it. Unless they're forced to, and I don't know who can force
I mean, them. I really was expecting that at the end of this 2-year period that the SEC was going to have 8 conference games, we're going to go to 9. You're going to go to that 3-6-6.
Right.
3 games, 3 permanent opponents, rotate the other 12 teams, mm-hmm. 6 on, 6 off.
Right.
But I don't see any way that's going to happen if you're penalized so much for a loss and strength of schedule doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you're playing or losing to, you're going to play as many mm-hmm. easy non-conference games as you can.
Right.
And you're going to play as few conference games as you can.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like you said, Bill, back in the summer, everybody said, oh, yeah, we'll get to the, you know, the 9 teams. But now with all this going on, I don't think so.
Well, and that means, among others, Auburn, Georgia go away on an every year basis. Oh, Alabama, Tennessee goes away on an every year basis.
That'd be tough.
But I mean, you can't do it with You can't play more than one common opponent in an eight-game schedule without – boy, you'd really have to mess things up. If you played two, then you'd be rotating six teams out of the other 13 that you play. You'd never be able to – I mean, you'd always – you'd have situations like we've had where Auburn doesn't play Florida for 7 or 8 years, where – what was it who was it that hadn't gone somewhere – I think since the conference, since the divisions had come in place. I mean, you'd have some long periods of time without playing teams.
Yeah,
so
that's tough.
So that'd be crazy. All right, we're halfway done here on the Friday Drive. Got another hour to go, so plenty of time for you to join us. 334-321-1390. Come on in here on the Friday Drive.
Capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two here of the Friday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Drew at the controls as we look forward to another big weekend. Always looking forward to the weekend, though, regardless. But,
yeah,
I mean,
it's
it's a big one. It's the final home football game for Auburn. It's the weekend before rivalry weekend. Mm-hmm. And as I said, this usually produces some surprising results, and we will see. We'd love your thoughts on anything going on in the world of sports, and you can join us by calling the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number's 334-321-1390. Text us on the Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, and that number is 334-564-1840. And of course, Southeastern Industrial Contractors also is the sponsor of the podcasts of The Drive. So if you miss anything, any part of a drive, just go wherever you get your podcasts, and you can check those out. They're usually available within a few minutes after the end of each day's show. Hour number two of The Drive brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. We were looking at possibilities there for the SEC title game. Mm-hmm. And whatever happens here, they're going to be a significant impact on the college football playoff rankings, as we head into the final couple of weeks. And don't think that the championship games aren't going to be significant as well. First of all, they're going to get the top four seeds, and I know a lot of people aren't happy with that, but look, conferences don't want to give up those championship games because they are such big moneymakers. And so if they're going to keep playing them, they want that to really mean something, because if they don't mean anything, then who cares?
Right, exactly.
You know, so that will continue to be the case. It's a shame when a conference could have the two best teams in the country and the second best team gets no better than a 5 seed.
Yeah.
Although that'll get you a bye.
Yes.
That will get you a bye.
Yeah.
But if you're the second best team in the conference and you lose that conference championship game, are you going to be the number 5 seed?
Who knows?
Probably not.
No.
So, I mean, so many crazy things that tomorrow will be that first step on the way to determining that.
I'm sorry, but another interesting game tomorrow is Colorado is at Kansas.
Oh, yeah. Kansas is playing a whole lot better.
Yes, yes.
They knocked up BYU last week.
Yes. And, you know, talking about the 12-team playoff, that's a big game, too.
It is. Yeah. Colorado wins that when they're in the Big 12 title game.
Unbelievable.
Yep. All right, let's get to the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Mitch is up first this hour. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. Phil, you talking about maybe UGA never going to College Station?
Yes. I knew there were a couple, but that's right. As Texas A&M being in the conference for 12 years and there hasn't been a trip from Georgia out there, that's crazy. That should not happen.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be in the same conference if you're not going to play a team for a dozen years.
That's ridiculous.
Right. Yeah. And I'm disappointed in the nine-game thing, too. I mean, I'd hate to lose Alabama, Tennessee, and Auburn, Georgia, but, you know, we –
Yeah, why would you want to do it, though? I mean, why would any school want to add another game that could potentially knock them out of the playoffs?
I understand that. I mean, I guess if it goes that way, I would hope that maybe, I don't know if Alabama and Tennessee would do it, but maybe Auburn and Georgia would just do, you know, a non-conference game, you know.
Yeah.
Just to keep the streak alive. I mean,
Tough for Georgia to do that, I guess, with Georgia Tech still on their schedule. But Georgia at least has shown now, this year, that they don't, you know, they don't mind playing that difficult a schedule.
Since we have no divisions, their schedule definitely got a lot tougher this year.
Yeah, it did. And see, that's what's crazy about this divisionless football. People said, well, this is going to balance things out. That would be the case if you went to a nine-game schedule and a 3-6-6 where you're playing everybody at least twice in 4 years. Now if you do stick with the eight-game schedule, you've got to go, I would think, with a 1-7. That way you'd still get to play everybody twice in 4 years. It wouldn't be anything as crazy as what happened with Georgia and A&M.
Correct. Now, did Barrett Sally say that if they expanded to, I guess, a 16-team playoff?
They were talking about a 14. What the SEC and the Big Ten had done when they had, I guess it was a conference call, because I don't think they were all there in person, is they had proposed going, and this was before the first college football playoff poll came out, the first listing came out, they proposed going ahead and going to a 14-team playoff where the SEC and the Big Ten were guaranteed four teams each, and that the SEC and Big Ten would get automatic, the champions would get automatic byes.
Okay, but I mean, if my math is correct here, he said four from the SEC, four from the Big Ten, three from the Big 12, and three from the ACC. Well, that's 14 teams right there.
Yes, that's I don't remember if that's exactly the way it was, but I remember specifically that the Big Ten and the SEC wanted to be guaranteed four teams each of the 14 teams.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about that one.
No, I'm not real crazy.
I mean, all for it. Let's get as many teams from my conference in as possible, but that's okay.
Yeah. But I guess on Tuesday, and I heard somebody, it may have been before, or hell, it may have been Jake Crane, but somebody was talking about maybe the last bracket on Tuesday, the one before that, the way they had it set up, there'd be like three SEC teams or you know, Southern teams that would have to possibly go up and play in Big Ten country, possibly in the snow.
Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, the way things are looking right, you look at the current college football playoff poll. Now the first thing you have to do is you have to go in and you can't just say 1, 2, 3, and 4 because 2 and 4 from the same conference is one. So you'd say Oregon would be your number one seed. Texas would be number two. Miami would be, is that right? Is Miami the top AC? Yeah, Miami'd be three, and Boise would be your four seed right now. Mm-hmm. All right, so that would then put Ohio State at 5 hosting. That would put Penn State at 6 hosting. Would put Indiana at 7 hosting and Notre Dame at 8 hosting. So that would leave your other SEC schools, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, and Tennessee, would all be on the road to Ohio State, Penn State, Indiana, and Notre Dame.
Wow, that would be something to see there.
Man, the Big Ten would be just, they would be overjoyed. I mean, they'd be throwing the biggest parties they could ever have to get all SEC schools on the road to the upper Midwest.
Oh yeah. I mean, I didn't.
Now it's not going to end up like that because they're going to, you're going to have some of these teams are going to lose. In Indiana, and Ohio State aren't going to stay 2-5.
Right.
One of them's going to lose, and I mean you're going to have some losses in there, but it's still slanted so heavily toward the Big Ten that it's going to be tough for more than one SEC team, it looks like, to be hosting those first round games.
Right, and I mean I heard, I didn't watch, but I heard there was they played in the snow last night up in Cleveland.
Yep.
So it could possibly happen later in December with college football. But last thing I got, guys, I'm big history buff and everything. And you don't have to tell me how old you were, but do you remember what happened, or do you remember this day back in 1963, where you were, what you were doing?
Oh, I do. I absolutely do. Earlier in the day, we were in. I'm trying to remember. It was either social. I believe it was social studies. Mm-hmm. I was in a social studies class.
Yeah.
When the news broke about President Kennedy.
Yeah, I was in the fifth grade, and I remember my neighbor. We used to carpool, and my neighbor brought me home, and I went to my grandmother's house, and she leaned out the kitchen window, and said that President Kennedy had died, and she made me watch the whole week. She said, "This is history in the making." I didn't understand what she was talking about.
That is the first time I ever recall everything on every channel being the same thing. And exactly. You're right. I was young going, where's some of the other things that I usually watch? But
and I wanted to go out and play.
I remember watching.
Yeah, I wanted to go outside and play. And she said, "No, you are sitting here watching this whole thing." And, just a sad day for our country and the world. And hard to believe it's been 61 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe my sister was just an infant. I think she was only four or five months old. So I was just a twinkle in the eye of my parents at that time.
Yeah.
So, because I didn't come along until 1970.
Oh, my gosh. You're still a puppy.
Yeah, I'm still a puppy. Yeah, I know. But what you cooking this weekend, Coach?
Wow, we got a lot of stuff going on with the finally a home night game.
Don, hey, look, Mitch, earlier this week, Don was like, "Man, it's so light. I can't believe there's just really not that much." And now he's like about overwhelmed.
Yeah, we're smoking over 70 turkeys in the next 4 days. Turkey breast. Personally, I'm going to do a rack of ribs tomorrow, and I'm going to cheat maybe and do them in the oven.
Okay.
I made a pot of chili this afternoon.
I got my stuff today, too. Go.
Oh, that's good, too. All right, guys. War Eagle.
All right, Mitch. See you later. Great hearing from you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, he brings up a great point. The way the rankings look right now. And you know they're going to change some, but they're so heavily Big Ten biased right now that, there are a lot of people that are, if they're not in the Southeast, they're hoping something like this holds up so they can see how are those Southern teams going to do if they have to come north. Yeah. And play in these conditions.
In the wind and the snow and the rain.
Yep. All right, 334-321-1390. Love for you to join in here on the Friday Drive. We've got some audio from some Auburn football players. We've got Auburn getting ready. They're in Maui. They got there yesterday evening. They're now getting ready for Iowa State on Monday. And we've got some basketball audio as well that we can run. But your calls come first. 334-321-1390. Come on in here on the Friday Drive.
The Grammy-winning songs, the Tony-winning moves, and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday evening. Bill and Don, Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in, but while we have some time.
Long corners, and I'm familiar with Dez Ritz. He's from Virginia. He's from the 7-5 area, and then he transferred to IMG. So, I mean, pretty familiar with him. We joked about when this time was going to come when I committed here after I left A&M. So, I mean, I'm definitely excited for this game. But you see a defense who flies around and, you know, pretty good, especially up front. Nah, I mean, other than knowing Dez Ricks, it's not really no extra motivation. I feel like it's a great opportunity for us to, you know, get a win and end the season strong versus a top team. And it's a night game, so pretty big game. And, you know, that's what I came to SEC for. Yeah. Nah, like I said, I love playing in games like this. Like, this is literally why I came here. It was the reason why I went to Penn State in the first place, to play in the atmosphere, you know, night games and, you know, versus top opponents. So, I mean, being that this is going to be the first one versus a good team, you know, I'm super excited. I would just say my confidence level. I feel like I'm around a group of guys who, you know, push me, especially the younger guys. And then just Coach Davis and Coach Mo, Coach Heath, I feel like they put a lot of trust in me. So, I mean, I feel like it's just all allowed my confidence to be where it should have been. And I'm not doing nothing spectacular. I feel like this is the player I've always been. And I still feel like there's more on the table. So I feel like I still ain't really, you know, what do they say? The best is yet to come. It sounds real cliche, but that's how I feel, honestly. So, I mean, just been capitalizing on all the opportunities and trying to do my best to, you know, lead the young guys and help the team win. Obviously get the win. I just say that and do whatever I got to do, whether that's 10 catches, which I love, for whatever many yards. But, I mean, I know I also have a chance to hit 1,000 yards. And not saying that that's really on my mind, but, I mean, it would be great. I don't know. It was a lot of talk between, like, being the first Auburn receiver to do whatever in however many years. So, I mean, it would be great to accomplish that in my career like that. But, I mean, ultimately do whatever I can to, you know, help us go 2-0 these last 3-0, whatever.
What do you think Ken Coleman, a young guy, to have a game like he did?
It meant everything for his confidence, especially like the one-hand catch. You know, I'm pretty sure it's a great feeling. I mean, I haven't had a catch like that in games, so I wouldn't really know. But, I mean, that's kind of – I seen Cam make that catch quite a few times since I've been here already. So, I mean, I kind of knew what type of player he was, and I feel like everybody, you know, kind of knows that. And it's just a matter of time before he continues to put that on display consistently.
As a veteran, when you talk to Perry or...
I apologize. You can't really hear the questions that well on the internet.
Knowing that we have to, So we in the beginning, like, we played Oklahoma. He got a big run. And we learned that quarterbacks like that, they could change the game. So we know that we have to contain the quarterback. We have to run with a vision. I mean, rush with a vision.
They're
a good run team. You know, they want to run the ball. They huge up front, so they tight ends huge. So they want to establish that run early, and we just got to stop that. We a good run stopping team, so it's a great run offense versus a great run stopping defense, and we'll see who wins.
Matt Damon turned here against.
Yeah. Electrifying crowd, cause they know it's when to go home for us, you know, and we want to be spoilers. They plan for something over there. The 12-man playoff, they plan for that, and we want to spoil that. So, and the crowd know that, we know that, and that we both want to bring energy. So it's going to be electrifying.
You talk about stopping the run.
Yeah.
You guys have done this all season, really. But what do you think it is? Is it the technique? Is it kind of playing with the right gaps? What have you guys done well this season?
I mean, it's a little bit of everything. It's more so our mentality. You know, we play in the SEC. Really good running conference. You know, we want to play some smash mouth football, and we know that. Everybody up front know that. So we just got to have a different mentality than others up front. We just want them more. It was amazing. It's family. It was the best years of my college career, and I'm happy that I came here. And I cherish every moment that since I've been here.
You got lots of family down?
Oh, yeah, it's a lot. This is my first time that family really came to my games. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this game. Yeah. I mean, yeah, of course. We gotta get the fans what they want to see. You know, they coming out here, they having all this energy. They cheering us on. They bringing that fire. We just gotta play for them. You know, we playing for something bigger than bigger.
Free said yesterday that DeMarcus Riddick kind of changed this defense.
Yeah.
He started playing more. What have you seen from him this season? Do you agree with that? That it kind of changed you guys?
Yeah, he a starter now. You see, he a starter. I just learned that he was a starter. I did not know how many snaps he played. I thought he was a starter all the time, but he finally a starter. And you see, every time he get on the field, he produce a big sack, big time sack, big time TFLs. He a playmaker. So him on our field, it just amps it more. And he on the same side as Keldrick. So, you know, yeah. Yeah.
Kind of position. How have you seen him grow with that? Considering it's going to be important to do that again against a guy like Reed.
I mean, he didn't have to do much growing. He's a freakish athlete. You know, he run with anybody in the country. Literally, he can run with anybody in the country. Call me if I said that. When I say that, he can run with anybody. He's a freaking agent. So he didn't have to do much growing. He just had to go out there and be himself, which he is.
Thanks, Jalen.
Jalen McLeod, again, one of four seniors, and the fourth senior.
At ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final 20 minutes here on the Friday Drive with Bill and Coach Don Dunn. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. Obviously, looking a lot toward tomorrow's football matchup, yep. Auburn, Texas A&M, but really excited about the Auburn basketball team in Maui, and they open up with Iowa State, and then will play either Dayton or North Carolina and have a possibility of playing UConn. They will play three games in 3 days starting on Monday, and we had a chance to talk with a couple of the players. And one of those is the senior transfer from Furman, J.P. Pegues. As he talked about his play early on, he's really, you know, not pleased with his performance thus far and really looking forward to showing Auburn fans more of what he really expects them to see from him as he heads on through the season.
Yeah, I guess, you know, you talk about the preparation going into this week. You guys have known for a long time. This is going to be an event with a lot of really high-level teams. What does practice look like over the last, you know, month and a half? You can go back to the offseason to get ready for something like this.
You know, I definitely give credit to this team for just being able to take this season one game at a time. I feel like we've respected every opponent. Our coaches have prepared us, you know, to the highest level for every opponent that we've been playing. But I feel like, you know, this is definitely something that we've marked on our calendars. Just being able to play in a tournament that, you know, has this level of recognition and, you know, the goals that we have for our season. I think, you know, we're preparing every day, but I'm proud of this team for the preparation that they put in so far.
JP, how would you grade yourself so far, and what do you want to improve?
I feel like, you know, right now I'm still learning things with this team. You know, I feel like I haven't been my best. I haven't really got to show people who JP really is. But, you know, that comes with time at the end of the day. You know, just building better relationships with the team, watching film, stuff like that. Just making sure I'm in a position where when I'm out the floor, I can help the team. So I feel like, you know, I'm learning and stuff like that. But, you know, I'll come along.
JP, how much do you enjoy being on a team that's so deep and, you know, it can give you some time to kind of get things going here in the season?
Yeah, most definitely. I think, you know, with that, it's definitely a blessing, you know, coming from, you know, the place I've come from where, you know, I don't have to be on that night. You know, I would love to, but, you know, there's a pressure that's released with that. And I feel like, you know, with good guys on this team, like the explosion that Janai had went for last game, And, you know, we've seen flashes of other guys, Miles, Tahai, Denver, CB. You know, anybody at any moment can get hot. And I feel like that's the good thing about this team. We genuinely want to see each other do well. So, you know, that's something that's good to have.
How has that point guard rotation been so far? I mean, between you and Denver and Todd, different skill sets, different backgrounds. How has it been working and playing with those guys?
It's definitely fun playing with those guys, honestly. You know, with having Denver as my roommate, you know, us being point guards, stuff like that, I feel like it gives a good energy. We're able to feed off each other a little bit. We're able to talk about the game, you know, anytime and stuff like that. And, you know, the more knowledge that we can give each other, him being at this level before and me being more of a longer tenured point guard, I would say, positionally, just being able to give him some nuggets or advice, things that I see on the court, and him do the same things as well with playing at this level, I feel like it's good for all of us.
Yeah, but you haven't committed a turnover yet this year. You've only got one foul just through the first few games. Just how much have you been focusing on, like, you know, taking care of the ball and also, you know, not giving up any fouls on defense?
Yeah, I mean, I was honestly a little upset that I got that technical foul, yeah, being that's my only true foul. But besides that, I think just, you know, ball security is something that's super important to this team. And, you know, the more good looks we can get by executing and stuff like that, the more demoralizing it is for another team. So I feel like that's something that, you know, I take pride in. And also, you know, just guard without fouling. I know that, you know, at this level, you know, you're able to be a little bit more aggressive. You know, it's more athleticism, longer people. So I feel like just being able to use my defensive instincts to help the guys on the defensive end of the floor is something that I've been working on.
Yeah, you obviously played some big teams when you were at Furman, but the amount of big teams you guys got in the non-conference, how excited are you for this stretch coming? I mean, you obviously already played Houston, but the stretch coming up in Maui, going to Duke, like, how excited are you personally to measure up against those teams?
You know, it's part of the reason why I came here. You know, it's always been my dream to play at this level on a nightly basis. And, you know, so for us to be able to go to Maui and play, you know, the top teams three straight days in a row, win, lose, or draw. I feel like that's something that's huge for me. And, you know, it gives me a chance to show the world what I can bring, how I can help Auburn. And so I feel like I said, man, it's definitely the reason why I came here. It's everything that I've hoped for.
How much did your time in the NCAA tournament, the big shot you hit, prove to yourself that you belong on the big stage if you didn't already know that?
Yeah, you know, I always believe that I was built for this stage, but I think, like you kind of said, hitting that shot, it definitely, you know, proved a little bit, in my opinion. You know, playing a top team like that back then, I think, you know, we played Virginia, but just being able to prove to myself and prove to everybody else that, you know, I believe that I can do what I say I can do, that's something that's huge to me. So
how much did your life blow up in the immediate aftermath of that?
A lot, man. Honestly, you know, it's all part of the journey. You know, that shot is, you know, part of what's got me here today. You know, just that recognition on that big of a stage. You know, it's a lot that goes into it. But at the end of the day, that shot did, you know, kind of help me propel my career tremendously.
J.P. Pegues, who was met with the media before the team took off yesterday. Again, they got into Maui last night and sort of getting acclimated to the time. It's crazy that it is just a 4-hour
yeah.
difference time-wise between East Alabama and Maui.
Yeah, I was shocked yesterday when I heard that on your show.
That was great to get a call from somebody out there.
That was pretty
cool. On Oahu.
Yeah. I thought it was always 6 hours for some reason, but, you know.
Well, in distance, yeah. It probably would be.
Right.
But again, as the as was pointed out yesterday, there's nothing but water out there. So there's one big time zone.
The fish don't the care.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't care what time zone they're in. All right. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Before we do, you pointed out, yes, some sad news.
Yeah.
From Auburn football history, Dr. Lloyd Nix, who was the quarterback of the 1957 national championship team, mm-hmm. passing away at the age of 88.
Yeah, what a player!
Yeah, no question. And what a team!
Yeah.
That was. But yes,
sad news.
Hard, you know. I guess that's 67 years ago.
Wow.
All right, we will get to our final break. Well, I'll take a look at some of the players that are visiting, give you our thoughts on what to look for tomorrow as we wind things down here on the Friday Drive.
Since 1997, River City Door.